Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your calls in just a moment. I want to mention a quote by Mahatma Gandhi, who said, "The soul of religion is one, but it is encased in a multitude of forms." The question is he right? And the answer to that question is no, he is not right. He is tragically wrong. Despite being politically incorrect, it is important to underscore the reality that it is both incorrect and illogical to maintain that all religions lead to an eternal relationship with God. When you begin to examine world religions, including world religions like Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism, you'll immediately recognize that they directly contradict one another. For example, Moses taught that there was only one path to God. Krishna believed in many paths to God, and Buddha, well, he was agnostic. So logically, they can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. Furthermore, the road of religion leads steeply uphill. The road of Christianity, however, descends downward. In other words, religion is fallen humanity's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to God through what we do. Christianity, on the other hand, is based on what Christ has done. He lived the perfect life that we could never live and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. Jesus taught that there was only one way to eternal life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." And Jesus validated his claim through the immutable fact of his resurrection. The opinions of all other religious leaders are equally valid in that they're equally worthless. They all died and they're all still dead. Only Jesus had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. Thus, his opinion is infinitely more valid than any other. So do not, as a Christian, fall for politically correct language, but test that language, whether it's Mahatma Gandhi or anybody else, in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good. One of the issues dealt with in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the hereafter and near-death experiences. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Michael in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I had a question. One of my family members brought a book on prayer by Dutch Sheets. And I don't know much about him, and looked up some information, but couldn't find anything. So I just wanted to know your idea about him.
Yeah, he's not a reliable teacher. He's someone I would steer clear of. He calls himself an apostle. He's a leader in the New Apostolic Reformation, constantly claims miracles, signs, wonders, and visions, certainly overpromises and underperforms, and says we've supposedly entered into the Second Apostolic Age as of 2001, and the office of apostle and prophet is being restored. And the danger here is that What he means by that is that there are apostles and prophets like unto the biblical prophets and apostles, and nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, we have the foundation of all of Scripture laid as a result of the prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament with Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. That foundation is not being relaid in the present. It has already been laid, and we have to therefore take their word and test the word of people like Dutch Sheets in light of what Scripture has already said and hold fast to the good. And when you do, you find that what he says does not square with what Scripture has said, and he's setting himself up falsely as an apostle in the same vein or sense of the biblical apostles.
Okay. So they're part of a group that's actually looking for extra-biblical authority.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it amounts to at the end. I mean, the issue is not so much, remember, the use of the words prophet or apostle, but the meaning that's poured into the words. For example, apostle can be used in a proper sense, in the sense of a church planter or a missionary or a pastor of pastors, or prophet can be used in the sense of a leader who inspires the church with vision for its mission or who challenges the church to deeper commitment to Christ. But the words apostle and prophet may never be used synonymous with the first century apostle John or the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. People whose authority cannot be questioned or who receive new doctrinal revelations in our epoch of time are to be carefully examined in light of the revelations we already have.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sean, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
And I greatly appreciate your ministry. My question today to you is that the Bible teaches that we are saved by grace. And my question was, why is His grace not extended universally?
Well, I think it is.
And is it
extended universally.
It is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, the grace offered to us through the atonement of Jesus Christ is sufficient to atone for the sins of the world. But we have to willingly receive God's grace. We have to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. All right, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, we're saved by God's grace through faith, but God is objectively offering us salvation, but we have to subjectively respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. If we reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit, then that grace is not efficient for us.
Okay. I know I'm saved, and I didn't know if I was, you know, why I was special or if it were unfair to those, but now I understand.
No, it's, well, certainly when you are someone who is being restored in fellowship and relationship with God, that is a very special relationship that you have with the Lord. But this is a relationship that is objectively offered to all. But all does not mean that all will receive. As much as we would wish otherwise, there are those who simply respond in disobedience. God has made it such that He's placed all people in exact places and times where they can respond to the gospel. God did that, as Paul said. He created from one man all of humanity that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the exact times and places that they should live. And He did that so that men might reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. So God has provided all of us with the light of creation. He has provided all of us with the light of conscience. And if we respond to that, Paul makes clear in Romans chapter 3 that the light of Christ will be available to us. But there are those who respond in disobedience as opposed to those who respond in obedience.
So we just have to accept His grace.
We have to receive His grace, yes. The wooing of the Holy Spirit comes to us. We receive His grace, or we reject His grace. If we receive His grace, then we are noble vessels crafted by the master craftsman, the potter, as it were, into vessels for noble use. If we respond in disobedience, then we are crafted into vessels for ignoble use. And so Paul points out in Romans chapter 9, using passages from the Old Testament like Jeremiah 18 and Isaiah 29, that our response matters. We can respond in obedience, or we can reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it.
God bless your ministry.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. By the way, I want to make clear that we have a gift for you when you support the ministry. And this is a way of equipping you. It's a way of saying thank you, but also a way of preparing you, equipping you, and therefore can be a more useful tool in the hands of the Lord. But also when you give, it gives us the opportunity to do what we do. Please stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And right back to our phone caller, Sarah, next in Sacramento, California. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am not a Jehovah's Witness, but a very large circle of my friends are.
Uh-huh.
Recently, one of them was disfellowed and shunned by everyone, including her family. And because so far people give excuses for not spending time with me, I wonder if I'm also being shunned for remaining her friend and supporting her new life. I'm not getting answers from anyone around me, so I took to the internet and I found you. And
yeah, it's highly likely. I mean, this is a pattern of behavior. This is what happens oftentimes. It's not only the immediate friends, but friends of friends that are oftentimes shunned by the Jehovah's Witnesses. When someone becomes disfellowshipped, it's a circle of friends as well that are disfellowshipped along in the process.
Oh, my stars. That to me is not what God wants of us.
Well, it's a completely false religion to begin with. And I think when you have a false religion, there are all kinds of ramifications to that. I mean, they're teaching their devotees that the Trinity is a freakish-looking, three-headed God invented by Satan, and that Jesus is merely a God. In fact, in Watchtower theology, Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael, and then during his earthly sojourn, he becomes merely human, and then after his crucifixion, he's recreated an immaterial spirit creature. So they deny essential Christian doctrine from the nature of Jesus Christ to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And those that don't agree with them or that are part of the fellowship and leave them, they shun. I mean, that is just part of their practice.
Well, you know, through the past 9 years, you know, they've been very respectful of the fact that I'm not a JW, and they're also respective of the fact that, you know, I have questions. This is something I don't know about, and one of them is a neighbor, and all her family comes along, and I don't have family of my own, so they took me into theirs, which was wonderful.
Mm.
And I would go down, and I would ask my friend questions, and we would have really wonderful talks. We have never once in 9 years argued about religion. It was, you know, her explaining her beliefs, and, you know, but then we come up with this, and, you know, here is this young 20-year-old young woman who finally admits and embraces her lesbianism, which is a huge no-no, I have learned. So even her family has, everyone acts as though she does not exist. And I thought, well, you know, I don't, you know, it's none of my business what takes place in a person's bedroom.
Well, I think it is a horrible thing for anyone to disassociate yourself with someone that they consider to be a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ hung out with prostitutes and sinners. He did not in any way sanction sin, but he was with those he wanted to reach. And I think that if you truly love someone, you tell them the truth. And if a lifestyle is a lifestyle that's detrimental to them, then you tell them that. I mean, if you were a cancer patient and I was a cancer specialist and you were my best friend and I just said to you, you know what, go along and be healthy and be fine. Don't worry about it. You're okay. I would demonstrate that I didn't really love you. If I truly love you, I'm going to tell you the truth, but I'm not going to disfellowship you. I'm not going to shun you. No, we ought to do the very thing that Jesus Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. We ought to reach out to those that desperately need truth, because God is not a cosmic killjoy. What he does is he places parameters around our life so that our life might be full, so that we might be fulfilled. So I think it's really important that we subject our views to an objective framework of reference, and that objective framework of reference in biblical theology is the Word of God. We can demonstrate that it's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and therefore we do well to listen to what God says about how we should conduct our lives. I mean, if I brought a brand new Mercedes-Benz, and I hooked a plow to it and started plowing fields with it, and then I went back to the dealership and said, you know, this car keeps breaking down, there'd be a reason. I would be misusing it. It wasn't designed to be an off-road vehicle, and I'm using it for a purpose it wasn't designed for. Of course it's going to break down. And the same thing is true even with us physically and with the metaphysical aspect of our humanity. God sets parameters around those things so that our joy might be complete. But this is never something that should be a cause so that we end up shunning people. No, we want to reach people with the truth and the love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart.
Yeah, my personal opinion is that this is between her and God.
Well,
not everybody else that is on the face of the earth.
Well, I would respectfully disagree with you on that point. For example, on the whole subject of same-sex marriage, a lot of people think, well, look, this doesn't affect anybody but the people who are engaged in the practice, and that's not true. I mean, we can see this logically by way of illustration. If I counterfeit money in North Carolina, it's going to affect the value of money everywhere. And so if I counterfeit marriage by setting up a standard of marriage that is not commensurate with that which corresponds to reality, I'm going to end up devaluing marriage. If I say suddenly, you know, I'm not against group marriage or incest marriages or polygamy, I end up devaluing all marriage. But again, there's a difference between you and I having this discussion and me shunning you because your opinion is in opposition to my opinion. I'd rather say, come, let us reason together, and we do that lovingly and respectfully. So this is what we say at the Christian Research Institute, Sarah. We say, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, but in all things, charity. So that means that I have to respect you and honor you and love you and treat you in the same way that I'd want to be treated myself. Sarah, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate the discussion very much. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tony, Yonkers, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Hank. It's a privilege to be on the show today.
Nice to talk to you.
Question is in regards to ministering to Jehovah's Witness on the deity of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
A few days ago, I just talked with one of the Jehovah's Witnesses in regards to the deity of Christ. When I told them who can forgive sin, and their answer was God can forgive sin. And I asked them, you know, Jesus has forgiven sin too. And their response was, yes, but they go back to the Father has given him authority, denying the deity of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How would you respond to that?
Well, I love what you just did. I think the credentials back up Christ's claim to deity, and those credentials are the fact that he demonstrated that he was God in human flesh by manifesting the credential of sinlessness, by demonstrating, as you point out, supernatural authority over sickness. He demonstrated supernatural authority over the forces of nature. He demonstrated supernatural authority over fallen angels. He demonstrated supernatural authority even over death. So this isn't a delegated authority. These are credentials that back up his very claim to be God. And I think that's the next thing that I would make very clear. Not only does the Bible in total communicate that Jesus Christ is God. In passages like Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1 and Revelation 1 and 2 Peter chapter 1. But in addition to that, Jesus himself claimed to be God. In fact, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, and then Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? And they said, we're not stoning you for any of these, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. So Jesus himself, over and over again, took on the prerogatives of divinity and claimed that he himself was God. I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen God. So Jesus was unambiguous about his claim to deity.
Amen. Thanks, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Give our contact information and then we'll sign off for today. On the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Again, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.